Will Gaza become the next battleground for ISIS, the home to nearly 2 million Palestinians and controlled by the Islamist Hamas organization, has been having trouble holding supporters in line. Gaza has become fertile recruiting ground for ISIS, and if another war breaks out between Israel and Gaza, Israel will be facing its own war on ISIS. Sarah Helm is a journalist covering the Middle East. She recently returned from Gaza, where the ISIS message, she finds, is increasingly persuasive.
In the eyes of young people in Gaza, those who see absolutely no hope for the future and who feel completely humiliated, these are stateless people without any chance of getting out, without any chance of real work, without any chance of, you know, leading a normal life. These kind of people, as elsewhere in the world, as in cities in Europe, in Britain, in France and so on, can be deluded into thinking that ISIS has answers. And the answers ISIS offers them, as indeed it offers to others it's trying to recruit, is of a caliphate. The Palestinians don't have a state. They now never think they will have a state. So they think, well, perhaps the caliphate will come quicker than the state. And it also offers them a certain amount of glamour. So they think. They think it's more glamorous to fight with these warriors of ISIS. They think that, you know, there'll be rewards in heaven, and all these kind of elements seem more enticing than any other form of sort of land-bound politician can offer them.
It's also a strange lesson of history that's relatively unexpected, in that at one time, the Arab-Israeli conflict, the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, was at the center of all Middle East politics. And ISIS would have us believe that, no, the Palestinian conflict is a sideshow. And in fact, that's something that they criticize Hamas for.
There is a strain of thought that thinks that they are deliberately leaving Israel-Palestine off their agenda at the moment because they can't fight on two fronts. And they don't want to take on that extraordinarily difficult issue of Israel-Palestine at the moment. So they're not getting directly involved. It's also true to say it's much more difficult for them to get directly involved, because it's very difficult, of course, for ISIS to infiltrate in and out of the West Bank and Gaza and indeed Israel proper.
Based on your experience inside the besieged Gaza, how much of a profile is there of ISIS or Daesh? I mean, is it spoken about? Is there evidence on the street of ISIS's presence or attempt to raise its profile?
Yes, it's absolutely fascinating. It's the most extraordinary situation. I first went there immediately after the war of 2014, when more than 2,000 Palestinians were killed and the place was destroyed and devastated by bombing. And I began to hear talk of Daesh there. In very small ways, in ways that most of the Gazans were not too concerned about. They'd just seen people dressed in what they call Pakistani garb. In other words, that kind of particular traditional garb that many of the ISIS Salafists, as they call themselves, are dressed. But nobody was too worried at that time. But gradually, over the course of the last sort of 18 months or so, there has been more of that. There have been bombings inside Gaza. The French Cultural Centre there was attacked twice. ISIS openly, the ISIS supporters, I should say, in Gaza openly avowed that they'd done that. There was graffiti left on the walls and there was a small demonstration and so on. And I myself saw a sight which astonished me, as somebody who's been going to Gaza for, you know, 25 years. On a beach in Rafah, I saw a group of Salafists, other religious extremists where the support is strongest, walking down the beach, dressed in very traditional white robes with the long beards, etc., carrying a banner telling women to cover up immediately and men not to look at women, and with other sort of pronouncements like that, in really quite a threatening way. And also shops that are selling women's swimming costumes or women's clothes that is deemed to be immodest, they have to take the heads off the mannequins. So there's a sort of, it happens at many levels. There's a sort of increasing fear of the extremist religious clampdown. There's a physical presence. There's military presence, as evidence of violence, of small bomb attacks and attacks on Hamas it's difficult to say exactly how substantial it is, but there's a sense that if things went really badly wrong, for example, if there was another major rise in tension and in the conflict with Israel, that the ISIS supporting groups would grow in strength. And the other thing to add is that, as people say, one of the most worrying things is that a lot of their strength and their military expertise is coming from the Al-Qassam people themselves. This is the military wing of Hamas. And many of these men are angry that Hamas has been too moderate and has been negotiating the ceasefire with Israel. And they want much more action, much more military resistance to Israel. And they are defecting from Hamas, from Al-Qassam, and lending their support to these ISIS groups. That is potentially the most worrying development.
Sarah Helm recently returned from Gaza. You can read her report on ISIS in Gaza and its potential for future conflict in the region in the New York Review of Books. Sarah, thanks so much.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.